supply. Some years ago, a Christian Science lecturer made this startling statement from the platform: "It is a sin to be poor." Shortly after this, a prominent Christian scientist said to me, "There is no sense in so much lack among scientists when they know what they do about the science of supply." And again, another Christian scientist, whose experience and quality of thought was much above the average, made this pointed declaration: "Insufficient supply is a disease, as much so as insufficient health." These statements challenged my orthodox way of thinking. Unconsciously, like many others, I was holding to the old belief that a deprivation of wealth often developed worthy traits of character. I was holding to the thought that poverty and lack were virtues, when in reality, poverty and lack are sin. I soon found that the average thought in regard to supply was very feeble thinking. Like myself, nearly all Christian scientists were walking into or with the currents of mortal mind when it came to the demonstration of their supply. The results of our thinking. We, as Christian scientists, are entering this new age fully aware that we cannot escape the results of our own thinking. If we think in or with the currents of mortal mind, we receive the results of such thinking. And when we think with our God-endowed dominion, we experience God's ever-present supply. We reap our harvest from the thinking which we maintain. Today, we are where our thinking has brought us, and no matter what our present environment is, we shall fall, remain stationary, or rise to new heights according to the thoughts we maintain. Supply exists fundamentally. The whole world knows that supply is vital to the well-being of mankind. As Christian scientists, we understand that fundamentally our supply already exists. We understand that the science that demonstrates health is the same science that demonstrates supply. We are taught that every human heart can have its rightful need supplied, whether that need is a child of promise, like Isaac, St. John, and Jesus, or the need of loaves and fishes, or the need of tax money. Supply is mental. We who understand something of Christian science believe that the science of supply exists, is established, and is as workable as is the science of mathematics. When once we clearly understand that the character of supply is as mental as mathematics is mental, we shall have our supply at hand all the time. We do not go outside of our own mind to get the mathematical value we need, and we do not go outside of our own mind to get the supply that we need. Jesus did not go anywhere to get the loaves and fishes. He turned at once to his own mind for his needed supply. Jesus knew that loaves and fishes were purely mental. They were thought forms or forms of thought. He knew that each individual consciousness already included loaves and fishes and all other good as well. Jesus proved in this demonstration that we already are the infinite supply that God is being. Everything in consciousness. Everything of which we have been conscious, and everything that we ever shall be conscious of, even now, makes up our consciousness. There is nothing external to or apart from our consciousness. Our supply is purely mental, and consists of infinite divine ideas in our consciousness. These divine ideas are perfect and established and make up our individual consciousness throughout eternity. Infinite good is the all of each of us. Infinite good is the all of each of us, just as the qualities of the sun are the all of each individual ray of light. The Father said to the prodigal, that is, the prodigal's own mind said to the prodigal, Son, thou art ever with your own infinite mind, and all that your own infinite mind is you. To be one with our own Father mind is to be mind's presence, is to be the infinite good which appears to us as all things. When we understand that our supply is purely mental and consists of ideas already within our own mind, we shall experience our supply of things without delay, without mental labor, and without the sweat of our brow. Whatever may be our supply tomorrow or next year, was our supply 1,000 years ago. Our supply of infinite divine ideas has been inherent in divine mind, our mind, from the beginning. There is no time, no distance between supply and our own mind that is being our supply. Whatever seems to be over there as supply is here in our own consciousness as an infinite divine idea. Excerpt from Mr. Young's writings. Bicknell Young has said, quote, "The time will come when Christian scientists by the thousands will think with the profundity of the divine mind without process and shall acquire the objects of their thinking without delay and with the certainty of the divine mind," unquote. We possess everything. It does seem at times that the human being wants and needs many things. This is mortal mind's worst malpractice. In reality, we are never in a state of need or want because the infinite divine ideas in consciousness are already complete and established. This fact of our completeness forever excludes our needing or wanting anything. To want something keeps us from having it. Since we already possess the infinitude of divine ideas in our consciousness, we cannot at the same time need or desire anything. When we finally overcome our ignorance of the science of supply, we shall find ourselves in possession of all things. We shall find ourselves secure, abundantly supplied, and satisfied. Many are saying at this time, as soon as the war is over, we shall have automobiles and gasoline and tires and sugar and many other things. But why should we wait until the war is over? The 5,000 could have been fed later in the day, but Jesus saw no need of waiting. Jesus knew that everyone in that company of 5,000 already possessed loaves and fishes, as well as all other divine ideas, that very instant, by way of reflection. Jesus understood that supply was mental and eternally present as divine ideas in consciousness. Like the science of mathematics, the science of supply was a mental operation to Jesus, and by exercising this science, the loaves and fishes were at hand. Establish the sense of supply. Mrs. Eddy admonishes us to, quote, "establish the scientific sense of health and you relieve the oppressed organ," unquote, Science and Health, page 373, line 22. And we should likewise establish in our consciousness the scientific sense of supply. And in this way, we relieve the oppressed condition. And we should keep on establishing this scientific sense of supply until the various forms of lack are spiritually healed. When we recognize that lack is merely a false claim and never an entity, we no longer fear it, and the complete destruction of the claim quickly follows. Supply is purely mental, and when we displace the sense of lack in our consciousness with the true sense of supply, this sense of supply which we entertain will manifest in our human consciousness. Our Heavenly Father is ever conscious of abundance, and by the law of divine reflection, we can individualize this consciousness of abundance. It is a present spiritual fact that we possess abundance, and nothing can interfere with our expression of it. Having once gained this consciousness of abundance, we can never lose it, for it is the scientific sense of supply. Wherever we go, we take it with us. And should everything that makes up our present human sense of supply be temporarily swept away, our scientific sense of supply still remains undisturbed and will manifest itself. The harvest is mental. Mrs. Eddy has told us that, quote, Jesus required neither cycles of time nor thought in order to mature fitness for perfection and its possibilities. He said that the kingdom of heaven is here and is included in mind, that while ye say, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest, I say, look up, not down, for your fields are already white for the harvest, and gather the harvest by mental, not material processes. Unquote. Unity of Good, page 11, line 24.